Nothing but good news today. Lord, thank you for the good news today. So hopefully everybody has an outline, and if you don't, you might want to wave your hand a little bit, or ushers, if you could look and see if that everybody has this outline here, and it should say, releasing the great and unsearchable plans of God. How about that? And when I say unsearchable, I mean they're not impossible to find. I'm just saying that God is so amazing. He has these incredibly wonderful plans for us, and you can find Him, and you can find them. And so when we talk about releasing the great and unsearchable plans of God, we're talking about no matter what your circumstances, what God wants to do from His side. All right? All right. What a great service. Man, I'll tell you what, the presence of God was so thick, I could hardly move up here. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing up. I really, really appreciate it. All right, so I'm going to start reading in Jeremiah chapter 33. And in Jeremiah 33, the prophet Jeremiah has already told them, Israel, you're about to go away for a long time. You're about to be exiled. Your whole nation is about to be put in jail. And so he wasn't too popular giving that word. And so they arrested him. And so what these scriptures that result, Jeremiah 33 to 1 and 11, are just powerful, wonderful scriptures. And I just want to read them and start here today, all right? Well, Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard. The word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me. Look at this one. This is really good. This is for everybody, okay? And I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So that makes prayer worth it just there, right? Calling to the Lord. So we not only hear what you have to say, but he's got some other unsearchable things, some things you might want to know also, right? For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight with the Babylonians. They will be filled with the dead bodies of the people. I will slay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from the city because of all its wickedness. Nevertheless, aren't you glad there's a nevertheless in there for your life? You did this, this, and this, and this. You've been there, da, 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 da. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it, which is God's always his first intent. I will heal my people, and I like this part, and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. Whenever you see the word peace, shalom, it's more than just health. It's more than just, a state of mind. It's actually, it has to do with your whole life, your money, your relationships, your family. So I will let them enjoy peace, shalom, and security. I'll bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth to hear of all the good things I do for it. And they will be in awe and tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it. So he's about to discipline them severely. They're about to be carted off to another nation. Their sin was so abominable, so horrible, right? But he says, you know, that wasn't my first plan for you. My first plan is this, but I will do it again. And when you come back, you'll be in awe and you'll tremble at the amazing prosperity I have for you. This is what I intended all along, and it's going to come, but you're going to have to go through this little discipline stage. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it's a desolate waste without people or animals. Sometimes when we get in trouble or difficulty, that's exactly what the place seems like. It's just trouble, right? I'm in trouble. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and the bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. And this is this part. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. So God's always about this business. There may be trouble, there may be problems, there may be things that have come up. There may be things that are your own doing or somebody else's doing, But for the Christian and for the believer, there's always restoration. There's always the sound of the voice of the bride and the bridegroom, and symbolizing the fortunes of the land as they were before, right? So I just declare that. It's funny, you brought me that story about Maui and the destruction there, right? And I just declare this word over Maui today. Totally devastated. Looks like a desert, right? But I declare, you know, I know believers in Maui. And the pastor of the biggest church there for years and years has been a master shepherd, a great person. So, Lord, I pray the church would just play a great role in bringing back this voice of the bride and the bridegroom and the voices of those who bring thank offerings and the blessing again. I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. And that's true about all of our life. Maybe some of you are in this place where you just felt like you've just been busted, beaten up, everything taken away from you. The great promise of the Lord is even though the enemy may do that to you or maybe get caught up into something, not even your own fault, but this is always our promise. I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. And I just want to speak this over any movement, any group of people, any church, any individual, any company. The Lord wants to do this. This is on God's mind. I came, he said, that they might have life and have it abundantly. But the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, you let the thief in from the front door, let him pillage and do everything, that's what you get. But remember, you just forgot that Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And that's every part of life, every part. Every part, physically, emotionally, financially, all of it, right? The more I live, the more I realize how good God really is, how lovely he really is in every way, and how much he really cares about all of us. Even while Jeremiah was in prison, and I read that story, God invited him into the great and unsearchable things he had for Jeremiah and the nation of Israel. This is a picture of the destiny and privilege of all believers. And I'll say this again, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. You know, it's so funny because a lot of people, when they're first approaching the Lord, they feel like they're losing something or they're going to be a loss or going to miss out on something. The Lord says, no, no, no. I didn't come for that purpose, for loss. You just don't know how to be abundant. You don't know about grace yet. But I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. The call to me of Jeremiah 33:3, when he says, call to me, is God's invitation for every believer to pray and expect great and unsearchable things, even in difficult times. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible is Romans 8, the whole chapter. But there's a part of it that just really, really just blesses me. Well, there's a bunch of parts, but this is one of my favorites. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, how many things is this? That's for a believer, man. You just can't keep us down. No matter where we live, no matter what's going on, you just can't keep us down. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So, I don't know if I've been called according to his purpose. You know, what does that mean? Just receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Just do it. Just say, I receive you. You don't have to be good. You just have to be humble. And just keep receiving him. Just receive him. Just bring him into your life and don't ever let him go. And if you make a mistake or you find yourself on the wrong side of God, some way or another, just come back. We call that repentance. That means change your mind and go back home because you're far, far away. I don't know somehow I feel this morning. Those that are either listening on the live stream or maybe there are some here that you just need to come home. You've been away for a while from the Lord. You've been away from what you knew was right and from the truth of these words that I'm telling and for the truth, most of all, of the wonderful blessing of God, right? Look at this verse again. I want to say this. And even if that's been you, look at what it says. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So he can make something great happen out of anything and will and wants to. You don't have to twist his arm. This is just his nature. And by the way, as we'll see, if he shed blood for you, died for you, hung there on a cross for you, why wouldn't he give you something special? Something as simple as money or whatever it is, right? Healing your own body. Matter of fact, the Bible says, by his stripes we've been healed, right? So Paul goes through this at the very peak of this book of Romans, which is talking about all of our salvations, right? Then when you pick it up in verse 31, after he mentions this about God working for the good for everyone, right? What then shall we say in response to these things? So this is what he says. If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, that applies on every level, doesn't it? As the people of God in the nation, as the people of God in the world, in our own private life, in our marriage, in our family, outside of marriage, maybe something went horrible wrong with a divorce, whatever it is. Wow. I don't even think you can really say much more than that, right? What a great scripture. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but he's the one that gave him up. Maybe you don't know that, but the father is the one that gave the son up, said, son, please do this. And the son's the one that gave himself up freely to the father. They did it on purpose and for us. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? So if he gave you Jesus, why would he not be gracious about the other things? He's so gracious that even when you ask for stuff, he has this way of finding what you really wanted and shaping that asking into that mold, right? That's how gracious. Could he be that good? Yes, he could be that good. So you get your mind fixed on something you really want, you really want, you really want. Well, he's no spoiled. He gives things like that all the time. But if he delays or waits or that just doesn't seem, it's not right there at the moment, guess what? The graciously never left. He gives all things. And all things work together for good, for us, right? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He's actually praying for us. This is sermons about releasing the great and unsearchable plans of God. But in a sense, Jesus is already releasing those because he's praying for you. He's praying for you. All you got to do is just join the procession, right? Hey, I'm with you, Jesus. I'm praying too. Right? And even part of life's success is to figure out, what should I be interceding about? What is good for me? What is a blessing for me? Where do you want to take me? Jesus said, I came that they might have life, like I said a minute ago. And abundantly. So wherever it is, it's an abundant place. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Sometimes I think I feel a little lonely and separated. How about you? Even when there's people around, even when I'm right in the midst of all this great grace and everything, sometimes we have this way of getting separated and feeling alone. Everybody goes through that. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Even when we're in that space, who shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Israel's history has those sort of moments. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation. I think he's trying to cover everything, isn't he? You think you got it covered? I think you pretty much got it all covered, right? And you just fill in your own stuff that keeps you separated or disappointed or discouraged, right? Body, Lord, I'm hurting in my body. Lord, I don't have a job. Lord, my family's a shambles. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if Jesus loves you, it's good news, because also he's able to take care of any problem, any situation, and will gladly work with you in the whole project of your restoration, right? Jeremiah 33, 10 to 11. So remember this setting of this. Jeremiah's in prison. This is the promise the Lord makes him. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it's a desolate waste without people or animals. So maybe today you talk with the Lord, or maybe you just talk to a friend, or maybe you even talk to someone. You said, I'm in a desolate place, and you gave it to him in all detail, right? You say that. But if you belong to the Lord, guess what he says? Yeah, you know what? In the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, they're deserted, inhabited by neither people or animals, there will be heard once more, and I declare this over this whole room today, the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. Yeah. Amen. So maybe your fortunes weren't that great to start with. So it goes for you too, you lawyers out there, right? Says, I can't remember when I had anything good anyway, right? And sometimes you get so far under, you can't remember one good thing God ever did for you, right? Which is an amazing thing. That's when I first learned how to actively participate in giving thanks to the Lord and making that a part of my lifestyle. You know, I realized as I began to do that, man, how ornery I really was, man, how slow I was, you know. Thank you, Lord, for that. And sometimes, then you get going, and again, it begins to move. But you can get a place where you can't hardly think of one good thing to ask the Lord. Now, am I alone in this, or a few of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, she knows. All right. Thanks. Great. All right. Thanks for your support. All right. And all the rest of you are stunned at the extent of this revelation we're giving today. Roman numeral 2. When Jesus came, he released great and unsearchable revelation to his church about their authority in the world, and he continues to do so, which is an amazing thing about us and about who we are as a people. So we stand before the Lord as kings, priests, and prophets to the nations. So I've been watching this Palestinian thing happen, you know, and the whole thing, and just the various takes on it and the way the government feels, this government, that government. Everybody's a philosopher. Everybody's trying to figure out what's right and wrong, right? But I just have to ask a garden variety believer, or maybe a prophet from the Lord Jesus, right? And he'll explain to you a little bit about what's going on a little better, right? Because everybody wants to know what's going on and what's happening. And the Lord brings revelation to us about such things. We may not know all the ins and outs, but we know right from wrong. And even in these elections, we know right from wrong. We discern. We can see things. You know, maybe not perfectly all the time. But when you walk with a living God, he talks. Yeah. And when he talks, he shows you stuff, right? We can't help it. He just shows us stuff, you know. And maybe we might be off a little bit here or there, but even if we're off, God will fix it for us because he made us to have vision. He made us to see. We stand as in three offices as believers: kings, priests, and prophets to the nations. First Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people. That would mean you, everybody here, a royal priesthood. So you're priests, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. So we, as this holy priesthood, we declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness. It's not just the declaring of his praise and worship, but in that worship, we're declaring the will of God, the rule of God, that he's number one, that you can honor him and God will help you. So one of our biggest journeys with the hot spots of the world in our own area and our region and also in our own life is just to get people to turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. I'll guarantee you there's a lot of repentance and turning to the Lord that's going on in Israel right now. Oh, it won't ever be the main story, but it is the story. God's brought them to a place of great humility. And in that space, God gives grace to the humble and they'll be found. There'll be many, many thousands more believers. Believers meaning it's not a political party. It's not a political stance. It's a salvation of your soul. It's reconciliation with the King of the universe so you can hear him talk. So you can make good decisions and be protected and come under his care instead of the government that you were depending on or whatever it is that you're depending on, right? So that's the solution to everything, right? That individually people on the inside of them would figure it out on the inside what God wants for them. That's why we get to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's part of what we get to pray. That's not just a poem. We pray that because God answers that prayer. Lord, your authority come on earth as it is in heaven. Your authority in Laguna Niguel come to earth as it is in heaven. Lord, your authority come to Israel. Come to my life. Come into my family. Come on, Uncle George. Right? Your kingdom, your authority. That kingdom means authority. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that's Matthew 6:10. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. One of the parts of what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's a powerful thing. Lord, your authority come into this situation. You come. So I'm going to say this again. We're going to have a national day of prayer soon. And I'm telling you, you should fill this auditorium. If you don't fill this auditorium this time, there's something wrong with us. As I've been telling you, if you ever had a chance to make things right, I believe it's at this time of National Day. We need to turn the tide in our own nation, in our own area, our own region. There's things that are threatening us on a level that I've never seen in my whole life. Now, I don't pretend to think that I know everything, but I do know a few things, and I don't think you don't have to be too smart to realize that our nation is in really deep trouble. Philosophical, religious trouble, every kind of trouble you can imagine. And it's not just us, the whole world's in that place right now. But that's when we enter. We're at our best in these kinds of situations. That's where we shine. And to not shine, and I don't mean by look at us, look at our theology, look at our politics. I mean, where you shine is when you take to heart the promise of God and you bring to the throne room together and you act like the church and you redeem people, you help people, and you pray over our nation like Jesus taught us to do. Actually, Timothy, you find it there. First of all, I urge you to pray for all those who are in authority. Why do you want to pray for all those who are in authority? Because what they do makes a difference in our everyday life. And more importantly, what they do makes a difference in the righteousness of the land and God's wisdom on the land and God's blessing on the land. Do the wrong things, we don't get the blessing. We do the right things, our land continues to be blessed and grows and grows and grows, right, and prospers. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'm really willing to give up the blessing of our country that's been on these couple of hundred years. I want to see more. I want us to be more of a blessing, not less. I don't want to be polluted. I want to be prayerful. I want to be a nation of prayer. I want to see us as the light of the world, not us by ourselves, but of course Jesus shining through us, right? So Luke 11, 9 to 13. So we have something to say about that, and one of the ways we do it is through prayer, which seems like such a weak and measly thing, right? It seems like the last thing you'd want to do with your life, right? When you're really in trouble and you throw up a prayer, a desperate prayer. Even those prayers, it's amazing how many of you are in here, because when you're at the very last bit of your wits, when you didn't have anything left, you just threw up a prayer and God answered it, right? Even those. But there's surely a better way, right? And the better way is this one. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Now, interesting thing about that is if you were really literally to translate that, you would translate it this way, because the literal translation is, so I say to you, asking and it will be given to you, seeking and you will find, knocking and the door will be open. In other words, for everyone who keeps on asking, who keeps on seeking, who keeps on knocking, it's that tense. So it's a continuous sense. So you don't just ask, you continue to ask. The one who keeps, in other words, the whole idea of asking, seeking, and knocking is pursuing, right? Right? So, yoo-hoo, anybody home? Right? That's your first part. Then you go walk around the windows looking around. Then finally you just start pounding on the door. I know you're in there, right? Right? So we ask with this consistency, right? Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, though, and know you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give unto those who ask him? And so verse 8 says, gives this parable about a friend and needing some food, and it's late at night, and hanging on the door like that, right? And then what it says in verse 8 is, I tell you, even though he will not give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Could we actually have shameless audacity of God? It just doesn't sound right, does it? Am I supposed to be that aggressive with God? Shamelessly audacious? He likes it, evidently, so I'm willing. I'm in, man. And I tell you what, sometimes I can't even tell people what I pray for and how long I pray or what I pray about because it feels so ridiculous. I feel like I don't know. It just feels weird. Like, I don't want to tell, but I tell you what I learned about this shameless audacity, and it really works, right? It really works because I pray for everything. The only thing that I really haven't got that I've prayed for is a good golf score. I suck at golf. But I've been shamelessly audacious about my golf score, too. So I just played the other day, and I'm just going to let all heaven loose and start seeking and knocking again, right? Instead of slicing and hooking and missing putts, right? All right. So I know you guys don't like anything special like that, but I would like, before I die, to at least, you know, do a little better. So then, we come boldly to a throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Aren't you glad that his throne room is a throne room of grace, right? Because of the authority Jesus gives us, our job is to make disciples of the nations with the prayer, power, and love he gives us. That's why he says in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That literally is all the ethnic groups, all the, not just nations like we know them, but within nations are hundreds sometimes or dozens of ethnic groups that are separate nations. And that's actually what's meant by a biblical nation. It's talking about the ethnos, the nations that have the same tongue and same customs, because the gospel seems to move really, really well once it penetrates a certain custom or a certain people group. And actually, people now measure the evangelism of the world by how many of those nations have been penetrated by the gospel. It's a very fascinating subject, because they've actually begun with modern technology to plot these groups, because they live within India, they live within Africa, giant nations, small nations, different kinds of people, and the gospel tends to move within people like you. So once it penetrates one, then it goes to the next and the next, and it penetrates till it begins to leaven the whole lump, so to speak, right? And that's happening at a pace that the world has never seen before. And so making disciples of the nations makes the world better in every area of life, which is really amazing. So look at Roman number 3. God wants to reveal great and unsearchable plans to us that bless his heart and the earth. And I think this is actually one of the great, beautiful pleasures of being a believer. It's like an adventure, right? Call to me. This is verse 3 of Jeremiah 33. And I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What a promise. What a word for us today. Not only will he tell you things that you want to know, but unsearchable things you didn't know. Could that be possible? Could it be that you don't know everything that you really want? Matter of fact, one of the great adventures of my life in the Lord has been that I thought I knew what I wanted, right? And I really didn't know what I wanted, right? And I still don't half the time, because God always seems to one-up me and give me better. I'm praying over this, you know, and he gives me, well, you were close that time, but let's try this one. Oh yeah, that's better. Okay. Could God be that good? Yeah. He could be, and he is be. He is like that. He's absolutely like that. And it's just such a wonderful thing to serve with a God who is so lovely in that way. I just am so grateful for my walk with the Lord, because he's better than I thought. It says this in on your outline there, Proverbs 25:2. Look at point A of Roman numeral 3. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. We are those kings. So he conceals stuff a little bit, just so you'll search it out and find it. It's like hide and seek. This is really important to know about God, because sometimes people are about an inch deep in their prayer life because they just pray about something and they leave it, right? But he eggs you on. As a matter of fact, I think it's like taking a journey with the Lord. I think of it all the way when I'm praying for something very specific. I always think of, okay, now I'm on a journey with the Lord. And so, like, for example, Lord, how do we do this homeless thing? So I knew enough by the time we got to that place as a church and began to do it a lot that I knew that I was going to have to take a journey, because all the models I'd seen, everybody I'd seen, just didn't seem like they were doing it very well. Or if they started doing it, they weren't very happy with what they were doing, right? But they were, you know, duking it out, right? And I thought, man, all this good stuff and all the promises about helping the poor, and nobody's happy about it. Nobody seems to be glad about it, right? And they get started, and halfway through, they're just tired and exhausted, and they wish they never got involved, right? And that's just the truth, right? But look at this. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter, it's the glory of kings. So what you got to do is you just take your prayer life, and you begin to search a matter out. So how do we take care of the homeless? There's a searching that goes on. God, please, I need to be taught. I don't know everything. I just need to be taught. I don't want to waste money, but I'd want to invest money. I like to see people come out the other side and really be healed and do well. So we take a little journey, right? So all of us got to be willing to take a journey and learn. And all the way we learn how to pray, oh, I was praying for that, but I don't really need to pray for that. I need to pray for that. Then you discover this, and you just keep on going, and the Lord shapes you. Atta boy, atta girl, just that's it, that's it. Getting closer, getting closer. Oh, but a push-button culture hates this so much. We don't want a good journey. We want it now, right? But your own life's like that. And the guiding force of the whole thing is prayer. You're praying for things, and then you realize, oh, maybe I think I should be praying this way. And then you, oh, that was good. And then you go on, oh, I wasn't praying enough. I need to ask for more, right? And God takes this trip with you, and it's a beautiful journey. So he conceals it, but your revealing, it's the glory of kings to search the thing out. That's why you just don't pray once. And sometimes I've prayed once and, you know, everything happens, right? But usually it's a big enough issue and I'm trying to figure, I just go on a journey with God. So I just share this with you. If you've been recently disappointed or there's been some discouragement in your life or some problems and stuff, or you're find yourself, maybe we could say it this way, you're in new territory. Maybe you recently got divorced. Maybe there's something horrible that happened to your health. Whatever it is, you're in a new circumstance, a new arena of your life. I think there's been a lot of that in the pandemic and all the topsy-turvy things. A lot of us find ourselves in situations, living in situations, living in places, right? So just remember, God didn't leave you. It's time to pray. Time to go a journey on the Lord. So you get your prayer out and you start praying. But you don't just pray in terms of supplication. You pray and listen. You pray about something consistently every day. Wear God out with it. But at the same time you're wearing God out with your prayer, just be listening and watching what's going on around you. And sometimes you'll find out what you were praying for is kind of what you wanted, but it wasn't really, it was more over here, right? So journeys are really important. Journeys are really important. And sometimes our life, we're headed towards something. We thought we had it, we were nailed down, and then God said, whoop, time out. We're going a different direction now. That's a little disconcerting. Especially when you're thinking you're getting your heart's desire, huh, John? And you're there, right on the edge, and all of a sudden, bing, it's all gone. But I like the journey you're on now. I think it's working out pretty good. And that's for all of us, right? You start this way, but the prayer is what makes the difference. You just keep asking, okay, God, I know you're good. Well, this was a tough one, but what else you got for me? What am I going to do now? What do I do now? Right? And he'll tell you. He'll tell you. That's why it's to search out a matter is the glory of kings. Right? That's part of your authority in the Lord, is to search out matters and find answers, sometimes for yourself and sometimes for others. So we're on a journey with the homeless. We're searching out the matter. I just talked to some guy that purported to be a great expert in these matters, on the homeless, and so we had a good talk. It was great. I was thinking under my breath, Lord, thank you for the journey you've had me on. Because I think over time I'm understanding this a little better. And I appreciate his input, but I know where I am now. I know where we are. So I'm not going to mess up. I can find your joy, your answers. You will give me wisdom beyond anything I can imagine. That's why to search out a matter is the glory of kings. It's like you get a kingly wisdom about you as you search. You learn stuff along the way. You come to a new place. And every time you go on one of these journeys, whether it's working your way through a divorce or whether it's trying to solve some difficult financial problem, guess what? You learn something new about God. And here's the key, about being more blessed than you were before. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So like the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So sometimes he does that. And he steals stuff. But if he steals stuff, so what I do routinely is I say, Lord, I want 10 times back what I got ripped off. Sometimes I make it 100 if I'm really mad. Just, you know. But the idea is I want it back. You hear me say that in the prayer. I want my whatever it is. But then I used to do that. But then I always go one more than that. I always do more than that. Make the thief pay back more, Lord. And I want to be in a better place. Because God's working together for my good, right? And this whole activity, I think, is the glory of kings, right? He wants to reveal great and searchable plans to us that bless us, bless his heart and the earth, right? And so, as a matter of fact, he calls it. We can see this in Matthew 5, 13 to 16. That's 2B on your outline, or 3B on your outline. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Oh, how we need to take that So, I mean, we don't need to be arrogant about it. But frankly, in Laguna Niguel, we are the light of Laguna Niguel, along with the other churches. And we're the light in this area. And we're the salt. And if you really want to know what you should be doing for our country, you might want to take a chance and ask us. Right? And our prayers make all the difference in the world. What we say to God back and forth, because God likes this prayer thing and it's our glory to search these matters out, is meaningful. Look at 3C, the good, accessible, revealed plans God has for us individually and corporately. So here's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. So he just got through saying to Jeremiah they're going to be exiled for 70 years. But in line with some of the things I've been saying, look what he says there next. For I know, this is Jeremiah 29:11. So you're going to be 70 years in Babylon, which sounds horrible. But then he says this, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. And then this. And this was true all along, but they couldn't accept the good plans in the beginning. They began to look more and more like the nations. They became worse than nations. They were murdering people. There were no justice in the land, killing their babies, sacrificing the idols, going completely against the Lord. So God had to discipline, so he got rid of them, kicked them out of the land. But then he says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Oh, can we just say that again? Let's just say that again. For I know the plans I have for you, cute blonde, you, Michael, you. For I know the plans I have. That was my wife, by the way. Just in case it comes off on the live stream. Well, that couldn't be misconstrued. I'm glad I caught that one. All right. All right, here we go. Back to verse 11, quick. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans that prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Yeah, it's worth saying. You just want to say that kind of stuff over your life, right? I mean, God really is good news, right? That's why John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it abundant. Notice what John 10:10 is. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but this is what I came to do. Okay, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That means that every time we enter into a situation, we're good news. We bring good news to the situation. So like this Palestinian issue, this horrible situation, this horrible war, all of it, right? But believers are around, and they're the ones that have the wisdom and the ability to bring good news. And God hears their prayers, and they're like salt and light in this situation. You're not going to hear much about them, hear a bunch about the politics and the religious stuff. But I guarantee you, and I know this for a fact, there are these heroes of the faith sowing their lives quietly like salt and light in these desperate areas of the world. It's always like that. Always, always, always. I'll tell you, I've seen this all over the world because I've been to a lot of places and ministered in some places where there's been this kind of devastation. When we went to Cambodia and all those people were dead and killed, almost all the church murdered and nobody hardly alive that had any education whatsoever. And God left this, the thief came to do all of that. But he left this little remnant in there, right? And there they are, letting their light shine. And they began to rise in the early years and became major figures in the bank. And one of them became the mayor of Phnom Penh for a while and all this crazy stuff, right? Because the believers continue on with the amazing plans of God. And that's the way it should be. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. God intends for us to overcome the works of Satan. And sometimes we're in a place where we actually have to do that. And funny thing is, in the United States, we've had such a good life, really, compared to the rest of the world. Sometimes it's just shocking that we'd have to be in a place where we have to overcome the works of Satan. But we do, in lots of ways. But these 72, he kept sending them out. And one time he sent 72 of them out. And they were shocked. He said, even the demons submit. We thought we might get a little healing or that, but even the demons submit to us in your name. So that's a nice little side, though. You read that. Yeah, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. But this is a big issue. Because not only are you operating in this world as a salt and light, but demons submit to your prayers. They submit to your actions and your righteousness and your mouth. That's why it's so important to pray. They submit to your mouth, what you say. Lord, deliver us from evil. Lead us away from testing and trial. They deliver us, right? Even the demons submit to us in your name. And he says, by sending these people out, these guys out, he sent them out into the countryside to pray and to heal the sick. He said, I saw, now listen to this. He sent them out. All these miracles are happening. But look how Jesus frames it. Look how he sees it. Look what he saw. So they're healing people, that kind of thing, right? Look what he sees. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Wow. I would really like to see that happen in our world. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, you're a different citizenship. You're a different kind of person. You're a different kind of ambassador. You're heaven sent, God sent. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the real kicker here. When we go to minister in dark places and difficult spaces, right? Here's the real issue. This is it. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Whoa. For this is what you were pleased to do. So he likes to do this. He hides it from the wise and the learned, and he reveals it to little children with faith. And that would be us. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that you see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And this is all in response to these disciples going out and doing the ministry and Satan falling from heaven like lightning. All of this he's saying, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that prophets and kings and many generations before longed to see the advent of the body of Christ, the advent of the church of Jesus Christ, binding, rebuking, bringing abundance, bringing the blessing of the Lord, right? And it gives God happiness. He's happy. He's rejoicing. I saw Satan fall like lightning. You know, he's rejoicing. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to kids. Father, thank you. This makes me so happy. I'm about to go to this cross and I'm going to purchase even more of this kind of activity. I'm going to release a whole army in your world to raise and release the great and unsearchable plans of God. God wants us to be problem solvers in this world. I believe that we're going to get wisdom. And I call these wisdom paths. Some of you need wisdom paths right where you work. Some of you have been given wisdom for the place that you're in, for the work you're in, for the place you work for. You're the one that has the wisdom and the knowledge. God will give it to you. God will give it to you. If any of you lacks wisdom, this is all you do. Because see, nobody else is going to be doing this, but you will be doing it because you're a believer. Here, this is what you do. How many need wisdom in your situation, right? Yeah. But I tell you, everybody's hand went up exceptionally fast. I've asked that question before, you know, before and other times, you know, people go, When I said that just this time, that's shocking to me. Because I've asked that question to congregation before, and you went like that. Oh my gosh. So I do think we need a little wisdom right now. How about you? I think all of us know and God give our leaders some wisdom. Because sometimes they're not so wise. Many times they're not so wise. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. Wow. Could that be for real? If that's for real, you should be the smartest guy on the block. You should be the one that's figuring everything out. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who asks is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the sea, by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, think about this. All right, when you're asking for wisdom, right? Here's the thing. So think of it more as a journey than a point in time. I'm asking, Lord, for a wisdom path. I need to know what to do, right? So the Lord will reveal it to you a little at a time so you can walk out of the desert or walk or get, point your sails in the right way where the wind sails them to the right destination. So much we want this whole download like a computer printout. But actually, we takes us on these wisdom journeys, right? And so the instability comes when we get in the middle of the journey and we start freaking out. Now, I deal with this all the time with people that I'm trying to help, you know. And so what happens is they get in the middle of the journey and they just start freaking out because it's not they're not quite to the other side yet and they can't see the other side. And a lot of wisdom like that for problems that we have is like that. You'll get the wisdom, but it usually comes on an installment plan. And then sometimes it'll lurch forward and you know exactly what to do and it's done. But God often takes us on these journeys so that we learn to become problem solvers. And we take what we learn and we then apply it to another situation. And we don't forget so easily. And then we become helpful to others as they're on their own journeys. And some of your journey may become part of may be reflected in something they're going through. And you can tell them, right? So we ask for wisdom, right? And God will give generously, but he'll give it sometimes in the installment plan. Sometimes he takes you on a journey. You want a perfect, printout with all the things listed, when the time and space. No, God takes you on a journey. And turn right now. That wasn't right enough. I mean, a little bit more right. Keep going. Good, good. Okay. Left. Yeah, good, good. Keep going. And then you stop. What are you doing? No, keep going. Well, I promise not. So just keep going. Really? Yeah, keep going. Right? So this is the way this sort of works, right? And this is how you become a problem solver in the world. One reason why we're not problem solvers is we're too impatient. And also our faith gets cut down very quick. We ask God for the answer and it doesn't come on a computer printout right away, right? In 10 minutes, 5 minutes. But, you know, sometimes you have to wrestle with things. But the more you wrestle, you go, okay, I'm going to get to the end of this. It's just going to take a little while. I don't suppose anybody needs wisdom about their children. Right? And you think somehow as a parent, you're supposed to have all that wisdom and everything and be able to just give them, and then you even project that on your kids too, of course. Right? But you may have to just go through a process with them. And you may have to learn a few things too about what they should do in their decisions. Because they're anointed. If they're Christians, they're anointed. And they have God too. And so you have to work with that, right? And so problem-solving strategies are just what God wants us to be. That's why he says, look, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. And he gives generously to all without finding fault. Right? He just doesn't give it all at once and in the way that you might expect, but he'll give it. You just keep expecting because all things work together with faith, right? And you take these journeys and you release the great unsearchable plans of God that way. In these last days, God is increasingly bringing strategies and power to bless the world and disciple the nations. And that's sort of an important point because it's sort of important to look back in the future, right? You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, told these disciples, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. And then he waited till our time to go to the ends of the earth. When the population grew, they went. I guarantee you those disciples that he was telling this to did not go to the ends of the earth. You know, Thomas made it the farthest, and he got to India and was murdered there, right? But not the ends of the earth, right? But now, guess what? Our generation is literally going to the ends of the earth. There's very few places that aren't accessible to us, very few places where the Christianity isn't visiting. God has a man or a woman somewhere in almost every area of the world, and increasingly in Muslim regions and in Hindu regions and unreached places. So this thing that he released, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth, is still in action. And it makes a lot of sense. Why? Because the population of the earth is more than it's ever been. A lot more than those early days. There weren't even 1 billion people there in those early days. So you see what he's doing? All through generations, he's getting a generational reaping. But at the end, where there's the most people, that's when he's going to move, right? In these times, where there's billions of people. Evidently, he likes lots of people in the kingdom, right? No, he didn't say all that in that verse. That verse has been to each generation that read it. But this verse, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and to the ends of the earth. That verse, literally that verse, to the ends of the earth, is just now happening. Just now. The last 20, 30 years. Maybe not even 30. 20 years. Ends of the earth. Which puts us in a very unique position. in a very unique time. It's not just the trouble and the trials and the tribulations that's on the church's calendar. It's this gospel being preached and released in the whole world, releasing the great and unsearchable plans of God and a body of Christ equipped in every way to do it. There's regions in the world that I'm working on right now that I don't want to say publicly, but that it's impossible to reach because nobody knows their language, even within the nation they're in, because they're separated by valleys and it's so diverse that the language is spoken here, in the next valley, another language, right? But even then, God has his person. I don't know if I should say this. Oh, should I say it or not? Yeah. Oh, I got out. I just want to say it really bad. When I just so there's one guy that we send that actually to act because there's no written language and nobody else except the valley knows the languages. He speaks in tongues and leads people to Christ. That's how he does it. And he can just tell when they get to the Lord. When they get to invite the Lord into their heart, right? He has no idea what he's saying exactly or the timing of it, but then they just bow their head and they start repenting, right? Could God be that good?
Yes.
Oh, man. The great and unsearchable plans of God. Well, nobody knows this language even after all these years, but by the way, I'll tell you on the other hand, there's almost no dialect that now has not been researched and found out. Almost all of them have been uncovered and also have the Bible in them. There's a number that are left, but these translators and interpreters have gone through and they've got almost got all of them with the Bible in their language. And by the way, this free dispersion of the Bibles, you might want to be praying for India right now. As I've told you, this great move of God that's going on there, but Indian government is cracking down very heavily on the believers and trying to keep Bible publishers and people that are publishing things in various languages and every kind of leader, they're trying to keep them in check. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for the great move of God that's in that land. I pray, God, you would pour out even more. And even with the persecution, I pray, God, even more. I pray the gospel would spread further and further in Jesus' name. Look at Ephesians 3. We're almost done. There at the bottom. God freely gives revelation of his overwhelming love, his overwhelmingly love, I don't know if I said that, overwhelming love for us and the world. Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 21. These are verses that I learned from my brother Eddie sitting over there. I didn't understand those verses for a long time until I began to experience them. But they're part of the great and unsearchable plan, because once you feel loved, it's amazing how you can hear God's voice. Once you feel loved, it's amazing how many things you can do for God and how much you can endure. Once you feel loved, it's amazing how your relationships come together and the plan of God comes together. So God has this little plan for that in his great and unsearchable plans. For this reason, now let's go down to verse 16. I pray, he says, that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, now listen to this. Is this possible? Now, I want you to think of this literally, okay? Because this is literally possible. I'll be teaching this in my class here pretty soon. You're welcome to come. Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock worship, 6:30 class, and 4 other classes. You can come to those too. And your children are all taken care of in every way, all the way up through high school. That's my blurb. All right. Ephesians 3:18. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So he's praying. Can you imagine if this comes to true in your life, and when it comes true in your life, that you can grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ? And when you begin to get a hold of that, your whole life changes. Everybody just needs that one thing. That amazing, unsearchable plan, that God had this plan, that he would fill your heart so full that you would know this love that surpasses. It goes beyond way just sort of, Jesus loves me, this I know, I know it. No, you know it down in your soul. And this happens to you, you're filled. Can you imagine? He's saying this is a promise for us today, that you could be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In other words, there's so much more fullness than we expected. It's going to come by a revelation of the love of God. Matter of fact, Jesus said about himself, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So if you want to have revelation about something, what you should be doing, who you should witness to or whatever, when you feel that compassion coming through you, your eyes open and you begin to see the world around you and you can see stuff that you never could see before. It's precisely this revelation, this plan that God's had for his church all along, this revelation of his overwhelming great love for us, inside, not just in your brain, Jesus loves me, I know, because the Bible tells me. No, I'm talking about an experience with the love of God. And when that happens, you see the world in a whole different way. Now, that's why we do stuff around here like this. That's why we do the warehouses and the you know, the feeding people and all that. Because it could come out of good works, but I'm telling you, we would have burned out a long time ago with just good works. Because it's exhausting and difficult, and people aren't that grateful. They'll take your food and your money and run, man. But then there's those that God interrupts. God touches, right? But it's the love of God that keeps you going. To heal the brokenhearted, to do these things that we see in Isaiah chapter 61 and these verses. They're so beautiful and absolutely delightful. I want to just read these verses from Isaiah chapter 61. This is God's plan for us. The Spirit of the Lord, Sovereign Lord, is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, it's difficult. You can do that for 10 minutes and be okay. But the poor, they're not doing so good. And they're not in a very good mood. And they bite. And they rebel. And they got a few problems like drugs and alcohol and demons, right? So, I love this verse. Proclaim the good news of the poor. But when it gets down to this part, we get a little dicey. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That's our job. That's what Jesus left us. The year of the Lord's favor was Jesus coming. And now we live in that favor. And that's our job. And provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the plant of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities. That's what we do. We will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks and foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you'll be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and in their riches you will boast. I really like that part. And so, it goes along with it. You start putting your money toward the Lord's cause and watch him multiply it. These things, do all these things. You're a part of it. Taking care of comforting those who mourn, proclaiming the Lord's favor, bestowing a crown of beauty instead of ashes. You just do that. Keep investing. And the Lord brings back double, triple, quadruple on your head. Instead of your shame, you'll receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you'll rejoice your inheritance, and you'll inherit a double portion of your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, let's add this one, love justice. And that's what this is all about, right? And boy, I tell you what, justice is a pretty cool, unsearchable plan of God. It's actually searchable, releasing the great in what seemed like unsearchable. If anybody could do this stuff, it should be us as the body of Christ. We're armed. We have the inner integrity and the inner ability and the insight and the revelation and the wisdom, right? Besides all that, God gives us power to move mountains, right? Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it'll be done for you. If you believe, you'll receive what you ask for in prayer. So we have helper. So we work hard, we try to help, try to be helpful. We try to do that for our families, our households. But this thing called prayer that we have access to, this access to the Father, has so much more to do with releasing these great and unsearchable plans than we know. A prayerless person who works with the weak and the poor is a defeated person because the demons are too big, the trials are too great, the wisdom is too much that you need, right? And you can only get it from a supernatural place. You can only get it from a supernatural place. This is where the unsearchable plans live. This is where they are, in this prayer place, in this secret place, in this wonderful place with the Lord. And if you know the Lord for 5 minutes, you enter into the wisdom of God. Because when you get saved, Something supernatural comes and lives. That's Him. That's the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of you. So because He's inside of you, He's that close, you can access Him. He may not give you the answer in 5 seconds. See, we're like push-button society. He may give you better. He'll take you on a journey with whatever you're asking. You know, He might do it in 5 seconds. You never know. But just stay on track with the Lord. Stay on track with the Lord. Ask of Him. Ask Him to show you great and unsearchable things you don't know. And then walk with Him in it. That's what our destiny is, a church. That's what we're going to do for a long, long time. That's what you get to do in your own individual situation in life. And all of you as individuals have a unique perspective on this. Because you're in a certain age group. You're in a certain place where you live. You're a certain thing that you do, that you like. And in that space is where you shine. That's where you're the salt of the earth. That's where you're the light of the world, right? And that's where you get to do all these plans. And even in the midst of your own life. Celeste, don't worry anymore. You're all right. You just had to get picked up by the Lord a little bit. Don't be impatient. The plan's going to unfold. I promise you. You will be great in the kingdom of God. You let the Lord unfold His plan for you. You're a single mom and you're wondering, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? You will make it spectacularly. Just don't give up. That's the only thing. So if you want to give up, you just call me real quick. Say, I'm about to give up. And I'll say, no. All right? Or some of your friends now that you have, like that person hugging you right there, right? Don't give up. Some of you single moms, don't give up on your life. Some of you that are single, period. Don't give up. There's unsearchable plans for you. Things that haven't been found yet. Guys that haven't been found out. Girls that haven't been found out yet, right? And other plans. Some of you are going to have kids, more than you thought. And He's got plans for them too. I was just walking by a child sitting there, and all of a sudden I got this computer printout about their life. And I thought, oh my gosh, do I tell them? What do I do about it? No, just wait, tell their parents. Okay. That was amazing. I didn't even ask for it, right? That's what God does, right? Let's all stand. Lord, thank You, Lord, for today, this morning. I feel like I'd like the ministry team to come up and just come where you are. And this is what I'd like to invite you to come and do. Just ask someone to pray for you about your situation. Just ask for them to pray for your situation. It might be a healing you need. It might be something that you need. And just let the body of Christ minister to you. So you know why I'm gonna pray. Lord, as people pray for other people today, I pray answers would come. The things that they need would come through the prayer just of another person praying with them today. I pray especially for anyone that's lonely or been a little isolated or having a difficult time. I pray that when we pray for them up at the front, or when they just come and pray for to you by themselves and stand there today, I pray in lieu of this message, I pray for extra grace on you. And I pray, Lord, as you ask whatever it is that you need, what is it that you're in your heart, what is it that you're hoping to have, I pray as you turn this great room into a house of prayer, and you pray individually, I pray that there would be extra grace on whatever is said today. You might just take a moment during the worship as we do our worship. He's really good at praying. He's actually really good at worshiping and causing prayer to happen. So you can just come up yourself and pray for your seat, pause for a few seconds, and just ask God for unsearchable plans, great and unsearchable plans for your life, or a specific thing that you need movement on. And just ask Him today before you leave, or leave if you like. It doesn't matter to me, but I think there's a little opportunity here for a window to open because I'm asking for it, Lord. I just ask You because we've been talking about it. There are plans and things in Your heart. There are steps to a plan that You already know. There's information that we need to know. Do I move here? Do I move there? Do I do this? Do I do that? I pray today, Lord, You would begin answers, and some people, in cases, You'd give them the whole thing, like a computer printout. In Jesus' name, may Your grace be on us as we leave today and as we come to this great house of prayer once again. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come quickly. God, Your will be done the same on earth. Amen. the power and yours is the glory forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. The power in yours is the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Forever. Amen. Forever.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. It was so great to have you with us. If you have any questions about our church or if you need prayer in any way, please visit our website at vineyardln.com. See you next time.